Alrighty. Okay. We're going to start in verse 30. There, did you? Oh, sorry. Thank you. Well, welcome to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 19, and we are going to pick back up with, with verse 30. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Okay. Keeping the Sabbath, reverence his sanctuary. That sounds, you know, straightforward, and it is straightforward. But remember, we have talked about the fact that Sabbaths are pointing to Jesus. And I also just think about the command here to reverence his sanctuary. You know, even our building, this building here, we have a sanctuary upstairs. And it is a holy place. It's, in my mind, I consider it holy ground when I walk up there. It's the house of the Lord. And that is worthy to be respected. And I think that sometimes this, in our society and culture, that has got, it's so relaxed and so very casual. We can lose that reverential respect. Might be something to consider. It's definitely worth teaching our young people, isn't it? They have to be taught that.
And the Sabbath is dealing with rest. And it's amazing how we get so hung up on day. And we did not understand that we're talking about rest. And you go all the way back to Genesis, God, 6 days, God created. And then he rested the seventh. In other words, after he did the work, he rested. All right, this is showing us something. And so the Sabbath was speaking of rest. It wasn't a day to worship. It was a day to rest. But religion was worshiping the day. And by the time, you know, you get into the Jesus' period of time on earth, the Pharisees, they had so many add-ons to the law of Moses, and the Sabbath, you could only walk so far, and you couldn't do anything. And then Jesus is accused of his disciples violating the Sabbath, and they didn't even understand what it's all about. Sadly, Christians today do not understand the Sabbath. They still think day. Well, it's a day you rest. Not understanding that Sabbath is talking about you're not working. Jesus is our Sabbath. He's our rest. And you can read this in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, talking about entering into the rest. Jesus finished the work of the law. Right? I didn't come to destroy, but I came to fulfill. And he said that law would be fulfilled. Heaven and earth pass away, but his word won't pass away, right? So he fulfilled the law, and so once the law is fulfilled, the work is done. You with me? The works have already been accomplished. And Jesus accomplished it by doing all the things that the law demanded. Now what we're to do is to rest and what Jesus has done. But what do people do today? They're so work-oriented. And I don't know of any place that will work you more than a church. Religion will work you silly. They'll have you doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this because they do not understand Sabbath. They don't understand rest. Now, Jesus has finished the work. I have to believe that what he did was sufficient, that God is satisfied with what Jesus did. And so my role is to put my faith in what Jesus did, not what I can do. And see, religion is still trying to tell you, you need to do this, you need to do that. And so you put your confidence in what Jesus has done, and you rest in it. It's a finished work. You understand? Salvation is finished. It's not the day you got saved. It was finished before you were born. Jesus had already borne the sin and paid the penalty for the sin of all humanity. And so all he wants us to do is rest in what he's done and just believe it and then live our life in rest. Instead of trying to get favor with God, understand you have favor with God in Jesus. You're not seeking the favor of God. You're just pursuing Jesus. You understand? You want to get closer and closer to him in the fellowship. And I promise you that the closer you get to the Lord, the less emphasis you have on work. But interesting enough, the work you do will be pleasing to the Lord because it will be a work of faith. Not work for works, but it's a corresponding action to what you believe.
Right.
James talks about how faith is completed with works. Faith without works is dead, is what he says. He said, you say you have faith. Show me your faith without works. Can you show me your faith without works? No. James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. How do we know that Abraham believed God? Because of what he did. And when God would speak to him, he would do what God said. He wasn't conjuring up things in his own mind. He was just being obedient to what God said. And see, this is the rest that we're to be in. We just hear and we obey. We're not trying to figure this out and figure that out. We're not being our own gods, so to speak. What we're doing is putting our faith, our confidence in the Lord. All right, Lord, your word says you've completed the work. I believe that. So I thank you for my salvation. I believe that in my heart. And so I just acknowledge what you've done, what you did before I was born. But I received that for me personally. You follow me? You have to believe in it and receive it, or what he did won't do you any good. You understand? It's not just the carte blanche. Everybody's saved because Jesus, paid the penalty and all that. Well, if you believe in him, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Mark 16, In 15, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. What if you don't believe? Well, he says he who does not believe will, the King James Version says, will be damned, which means condemned. You're condemning yourself by not accepting Jesus. You with me? So what's our rest? Our rest is a person. And so in the law, the Sabbath was pointing to a person. Don't desecrate the type, and for goodness sake, don't desecrate the person. You follow me?
Yes.
And then when you think about the sanctuary, well, what is a sanctuary? It's a safe place, right? Mm-hmm. You ever heard of a bird sanctuary?
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to be a safe place for the bird. You better not shoot a bird in that area, right? Okay?
Yeah.
And so the sanctuary, when you look at God's sanctuary, we're to keep that holy. Well, what is God's sanctuary today? Know ye not that you're the temple of God?
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
And so don't defile the sanctuary. In other words, we have to stay focused on the Lord. And I mean, this is something that you do consciously. That you realize that, Lord, you dwell in me, and I want you to be pleased with your dwelling. You understand? I want to represent you well. And so I'm resting in you, and I believe that you're going to give me the information that I need to live the life you want me to live, to do the work you want me to do. I don't have to try to figure out how I can please God. You've already said faith. And so I put my confidence in you. And that's all faith is. It's just putting your confidence in the Lord. You're persuaded that what Jesus did was enough. And so you receive it. Whether you see it with your natural eyes is irrelevant. You have to see it with your heart, with your spiritual eyes. And when you get it with your spiritual eyes, you'll rest. People that are waiting to be healed, for instance, or they're waiting for this, they're waiting for that. I used to talk about seeking the baptism. Well, why are you seeking something that's there?
Mm.
You follow me? And so what people are saying is, I'm not in faith. I'm hoping. I'm wishing. But there's no substance to hope. There's no substance to wishing. But faith has substance. What's the substance? It's convincing. I have it now. I won't get eternal life after I die. I have eternal life now. I am very confident in that because the scriptures teach that. You follow? And so you rest in it. You rest in it. You don't let people try to tell you that you need to jump through this hoop, this hoop, this hoop, this hoop in order for God to like you. He loved you enough, he died for you. Love him enough to believe in him and serve him. Amen.
Amen. That's good.
You know who your Sabbath is?
Jesus.
So just don't worship a day. Worship the Lord. So that would be every day, right? He's my Sabbath every day. He's my rest every day. Not just one day a week, okay?
That's very good. Thank you. Verse 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God.
Now, you would think that we as born-again believers would know not to go to a demonic spirit to get information. That's one of the things that Saul died as a result of, because he sought information from a familiar spirit. Okay? It's amazing to me how many professing Christians go to palm readers, read horoscopes, and all these other things, spiritualists, and, you know, they have all kinds of names, witches and wizards and necromancer, whatever. But they're going to them instead of going to God. Now, the Lord was very specific in the Old Covenant about not seeking that. As a matter of fact, when we get a little farther along here, he's going to tell you what the punishment was for those people. Now, God hasn't changed. If you read Malachi, God says, I am God, I change not. And the rest of it is, or you sons of Levi would be consumed. But because I made a covenant with your father, your ancestor, that's what saved you this far, was my covenant. I don't change, okay? And so from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God hasn't changed. His modus operandi has maybe changed, because now it's all in Jesus. Okay? But God hasn't changed. What God hated in the Old Covenant, God hates in the New Covenant. And people think, well, you know, because we're not under law, we're under grace, you know, God just says, do whatever you want to do. And you can be a pervert and say God loves you. Well, God loves you, but he doesn't love your perversion. He loves you enough that he wants you saved. He loves you enough that he'll confront you with truth. He will never agree with you. You have to agree with him. You follow me? And so, God does not like familiar spirits, palm readers, spiritualists, all that. It's all demonic. It's all demonic. Why would you seek a demon to tell you something? And people are so enamored by predictions and future that they just throw caution to the wind. Well, you know, they told me something that was true. Well, it's a familiar spirit. You know what a familiar spirit is? It's a spirit that is familiar. And so they can tell you some things. But they're not 100% accurate. And I'm telling you, it's gotten out of hand. And I believe a lot of it has infiltrated the church in under the name of prophecy. Now let me preface this. No one believes in the prophetic ministry any more than I do. But the prophetic ministry must be inspired by God. Not you, not circumstances, but God speaking and God revealing. Otherwise, you open yourself up and you can get into this area, and I believe there's a lot of familiar spirits that operate in the churches. And you've got to be cautious with that. Don't you listen to everything everybody tells you. Just because someone gives you a word or prophesies over you does not mean it's God. Try the spirits and see if they're God. They're going to agree with Jesus. In character, in word, and by the Holy Spirit, that you'll get a witness if the Spirit of God's in you. Okay? So, stay away from familiar spirits.
Verse 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
You know, times have changed so much in my lifetime. When I was a kid, if an older person walked in the room, I'd better get up, or I would pay a price, I can tell you that. You honor the gray hair. The hoary head is the gray hair. It's the aged person. You're to pay respect to that person. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. And it doesn't matter what their race is, what their ethnic background is. You give respect and honor because they deserve respect and honor of their age. You with me? And today, people are so disrespectful that it's really amazing to me how disrespectful the younger generation is, okay? And so, to be respectful. Now, he goes on in there and he talks about how they're not to oppress those who have proselyted over into their nation and come under Judaism. Don't oppress the foreigner. He didn't say anything about illegal and people trying to destroy your nation. He didn't say don't oppress them. He says kill them. They want to bring their gods in. They worship other gods. Then destroy them. You don't let them defile the land. But when the person comes into your land and that person is proselyting, in this case, into Judaism, don't oppress that person. You were a stranger in Egypt, is what he's telling them. Do you know what it's like to be a foreigner? And so don't go off of the deep end with this. You say, well, we're just supposed to embrace everybody. There's laws of the land that should be abided by. And the thing is, the laws of the land should be enforced. And if the laws of the land were enforced, then we wouldn't have these problems. You understand? You give honor. When I go into another country, I respect that culture. I don't worship their God, but then I don't go in and try to overthrow their country. You with me? We go in to give them truth. I don't want someone coming in to give me a lie. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So keep the balance in all this.
Verse 35, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meter yard, in weight, or in measure.
Get rid of your greed, right?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what you buy by is what you sell by. You don't have scales that you buy by and scales that you sell by to where you cheat people. But you'd be surprised at how much of that occurs. And so he says, just wait, just balance. You treat people fairly. You be honest. And I'm telling you, in the business world, someone needs to define integrity to people today. Someone needs to define honesty today. Someone needs to define quality today. You understand? Then people wouldn't be cheated. You wouldn't be taking advantage of others. And that's basically what he's saying here. If you just sum that up, he said, don't take advantage of people by being dishonest with them.
We were just talking Sunday, in the service on Sunday, even if you go and buy a quarter round today, it's not quarter round. It doesn't measure 3/4 of an inch. It's smaller, and you're getting cheated. You have to special order if you really want the true quarter round. It's an amazing thing.
You get less material, and you pay more money for less material. Is that cheating you? Of course it's cheating you. But this business practice, well, that doesn't make it right. It's dishonest. Mm-hmm. You be honest with people. A pound should be a pound. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But we've gotten so far away from the truth and the integrity of the Word of God, the golden rule, if you will. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. I mean, how do you like to be cheated? Not a person in the room likes to be cheated. Well, why would you cheat someone else? Do you like people to lie to you, deceive you? Then don't lie to them and don't deceive them. Treat them fairly. You understand? Whether they're looking or not looking. You do right by people. And you'll never go wrong doing right. Well, that's more profound than you realize.
Just balances, just weights, a just ephod and a just hin shall you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord.
You know, most of these commands that God has given to the Israelites ended with, I am the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Lord. Do this, I am the Lord. Do this, I am the Lord. God wanted the Israelites not to forget the God who brought them out of the land of Egypt. Don't forget me. And so he would keep reminding them. He said, I selected you to be a nation. I chose you. You didn't choose me. And that what? John 15:16. Jesus said to his apostles, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Israel didn't choose God. God chose Israel. You follow me? And so he's trying to keep that point in front of them. And so it's imperative for the nation of Israel to follow God's laws. Otherwise, they wouldn't be different than any other nation on earth. And God wanted them holy, distinctly different. Now you look at today, you look at the church, and the same principle applies. God wants the church different. So the born-again believer, God is saying, remember where I brought you from? You were born in sin. I brought you out of sin. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. Quit looking at these other things. Quit listening to these other people. I am the Lord your God. You see the parallel that's running here? This is the type. But God is saying, I have chosen you. Out of all the people, I've chosen you to be distinctly different. I don't want you to be like other people. Peter says, peculiar people. We're a chosen generation. We're a holy nation. The holy nation referred to is the church, the body of Christ. Holy, being distinctly different. Our standard that we live by, you understand? A standard of truth. You with me?
I do my best to keep this before my own heart. I remind myself regularly who Jesus is and what he's done for me. And I'll tell him. I'll recognize it. And it does my heart good to remind myself so that I don't get frivolous with the word Lord. that I truly recognize who He is and what He's done for me. And I have to do that myself. Just bring it back to my own remembrance.
It's healthy. It's just healthy to remind yourself of what the Lord's done for you. And don't wallow in past sin. But don't forget God brought you out of those things.
Right.
You understand? It's one thing to just dwell in things of the past. We don't want you dwelling on the past. We don't want to get you to bring up things in your childhood and all. No, what we want you to do is remember that what happened is God took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so what you should be meditating on and putting your emphasis on is soon the sun sets free. It's free, and I am free indeed. That's where we're to put our emphasis at that.
Okay, chapter 20. Now, chapter 20 is linked to chapter 18. Remember we read in chapter 18 together, and that dealt with sexual sins and social sins. It told us what not to do. Now, chapter 20 is going to give us the penalty for those violations.
So you can see it as a redundancy or reiteration. What he's doing is reiterating, but with his reiterating, he's adding to, this is why you shouldn't do it. Because mm-hmm. if you do, this is what's going to happen.
In fact, this is a test question. If you're taking notes, you might want to drop this down. Chapters 18 through 20 document the laws of sexual and social sins. Your key word is sexual. All right, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed to Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones.
So God's speaking to the oversight. Here's a principle that people should understand. God speaks to the oversight, the one who's responsible. And so he's telling Moses, you teach the people. I've given you the law. But you have the responsibility of teaching this to the people, because how it goes with the people is going to depend on whether they understand the law. You with me? And so somebody has to tell them. And this is where we are today in the church.
I still have battery. Anyway, that's interesting, isn't it? Somebody didn't want the truth out. We owe the truth to people. Y'all, we have to be willing to stand up and not cower down. You know, when you really love somebody, when you truly prefer them over yourself, you will be willing to take the hit, so to speak. You'll be willing for that person not to like you or to be upset with you for speaking the truth. And that's a hard thing. We got to get to that point where you just have to lay down your flesh and say, you're more important to me than I am. I'm going to tell you the truth on this. And it's amazing when you set your heart to really following the Lord and listening to what He has to say and being led by the Spirit, you're put in that situation more times than not. But there has to be such an assurance on the inside of you that you believe so wholeheartedly in the Word of God that you love God and you love the people. You know, I had a text from a friend today. We were texting back and forth about something else. And what was spoken, she said, well, we're going to go with what was said. We'll go with what was said, or something to that effect. And it just made me smile because I thought about the Word of God. And I thought, that's right. I'm going with the Word of God. I'm standing on that Word. I'm believing it. I know in my heart to be that to be the absolute truth, and I'm going to tell other people. I'll share it with others as the Spirit directs me.
If you don't tell people the truth, it means you love yourself more than you love them. If you truly love people, you give them the truth.
Well, you're not getting
something lying to me.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking.
This is what bothers him about ministry, is that ministers today are more concerned, they're prideful in a lot of cases, and they're not willing to tell the truth. And so they won't stand up and give the gospel message. They'll talk about what people, something's ringing. They'll say what people want to hear. And you know, that's just a real slippery slope to be in. When you have been placed in a position of authority and responsibility, when you don't tell the truth to people, you're forgetting about the accountability that's coming.
I'll tell you something else about the truth. And a good friend of mine said this, and it's really stuck with me years ago. He said, I tell people, if your faith's not working, try honesty. And a lot of people are trying to deceive the Lord, in the process of deceiving themselves and trying to deceive other people. It is time to stop.
Okay, amen.